You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinere on Air. Jane Matinere, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for covering for me on Friday. And I want to give a little shout out to my nurses and doctor at Elmbrook Hospital. I had a little minor thing going on, so, and it's no longer a thing. So
it shouldn't be a thing.
It shouldn't be a thing, and it is no longer a thing.
Boom.
So I had this really nice email from Gail, who had noticed, you know, my husband and I were on vacation. We were gone for a couple of weeks, and then I was off on Friday, and she said, I noticed that you've been gone a lot lately, and I hope everything's okay, and I hope you're all right. And I emailed her back. It's just that's so sweet that people care. What's with the slitting of the eyes at me?
No one's like, I'm just so happy Greg's around.
I just think she was more concerned that I was sick and dying. So I appreciate that check-in from Gail.
I was gonna give them a full medical description on the show on Friday, but I'm like, I want people to stick around.
Yeah, you didn't want to. Yeah, let's not do that. We have a whole bunch of stuff coming your way today, and I'm really excited about our guest who's going to be joining us right after the 10:30 news. Lee McGowan is known as the politics girl, and she has been doing videos, particularly on TikTok, for the last couple of years, and has, like so many of our guests, she has this incredible ability to break down very complex things and make it digestible and understandable. And she is out with a book, and it is already a New York Times number one bestseller. It's called The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It.
I appreciate she thinks we still have time to redeem it. That's great.
She absolutely does. So Lee McGowan, and I highly look for her. Her handle is I Am Politics Girl. So you can find her at I Am Politics Girl on Twitter and certainly on TikTok.
And Instagram, and then it is Politics Girl on YouTube and Facebook.
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
She really is. Yeah. And she has a very interesting backstory as well. So Lee McGowan, the Politics Girl, joining us at 10:33 next hour. We talked about this on Friday as Hurricane Helene was barreling towards Florida. And now in the aftermath of that storm, it is a disaster. So many parts of the South, certain areas of Florida, western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee. We're going to be talking about different ways that you can help. And also just a reminder that Project 2025 would eliminate the National Weather Service, the National Hurricane Service, and it would also change FEMA. And that's who's going to be helping out these folks now, is the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And Project 2025 also would like to get rid of FEMA.
It's just going to fundamentally change everything.
It's just going to make all of our lives so much worse.
Yes.
So much worse.
Yep.
We lost Chris Christopherson over the weekend.
Yeah.
We'll be remembering him at 11:33. And to close out the show now, as we do every day, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today from the world of pets.
French pets.
It's a doozy.
Yeah.
I hope you will stick around for that. We're going to kind of keep going a little bit from what Earl was talking about. Donald Trump making all kinds of appearances over the weekend. He was in Prairie du Chien on Saturday. Let's start, Calvin, with a clip from Donald Trump in Prairie du Chien. Apparently, Derek Van Bully was there to introduce him. And this is what Donald Trump had to say about Wisconsin's very own Derek Van Orden.
I want to just thank Derek, who is an incredible congressman, so respected in Washington. He's really respected, and I don't know if there's somebody running against him or not. I guess there probably is. Will you make sure he wins, please? Okay.
I'm sorry, you said this was about Derek Van Orden?
Derek Van Orden.
But he said that he's really respected, so this is about someone else, right?
Everybody really respects Derek Van Orden, according to Donald Trump.
I guess?
Just a little reminder, in case we've forgotten, Mr. Van Orden said he was enraged after he saw a group of high school-age Senate pages defiling the Capitol. This is going back a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting for fellow Republican Brian Stile to release that videotape of Derek Van Orden, who reportedly had some constituents in his office late at night. There was a little drinking going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek walked into the rotunda where he saw these pages lying on the floor so they could take a photo of the ceiling, which is apparently a tradition among Senate pages. Derek didn't like that. A transcript written by one of the pages and printed by The Hill, Derek Van Orden said, quote, "Wake the F up, you little S's. Get the F out of here. You are defiling the space." He called the teenagers jackasses and lazy S's. "I have long said our nation's capital is a symbol of the sacrifice our servicemen and women have made for this country and should never be treated like a frat house common room." While he's drinking beers in his office with his constituents, but apparently that's something else.
I don't know. He seemed to be okay with defiling the place when he was there on January 6th.
But he didn't go in.
He hung around the parking lot for the tailgate.
Which he did.
Didn't make it much better. And also, let's not forget that just last week, he voted against the continuing resolution, in fact, wanting to shut the government down, which for some reason in his head said it was going to help farmers in America if we did this. Yeah. Derek Van Orden, a very respected man.
Very, everyone respects him, Greg.
Yes, yes.
Everyone.
All the best people.
All the best people respect Derek Van Orden. Another thing that Donald Trump said when he was in Wisconsin on Saturday, the crowd size thing really bothers him.
Yeah.
Like really, really, really bothers him.
Yeah, it does.
And he had this comment about all the folks who just couldn't get into the venue. Kelvin, let's play that clip, please.
But outside, we have thousands of people.
Billions.
Would anybody love to give up their seat? So,
just keep talking,
they'll leave. So we were going to have a thing outside someplace in an area where we could have held the people. And I would say, what do you think, 40, 50,000 people at least out there?
Oh, sure.
Just went almost all the way to the airport. And it looked like when Lindbergh landed in New York. Do you remember that?
Remember that?
He had all the way, the Broadway, the way they used to do it. And this looked like it. But thousands and thousands
billions
of people.
Billions and billions.
And they all could have had a lot of fun.
Oh.
Instead, now they're probably leaving and walking back home.
Oh, no, but no one leaves your rallies. No one leaves your rallies.
No.
They hang around the outside of the building just for the nearness of you.
They want the pure nearness.
Yeah.
By the way, 50,000 people is most of the population of Waukesha City.
Yeah, I don't think there's, what is Prairie du Chien, 5,000 people?
Yeah, no, it's not going to be 50,000.
If anybody was there, by the way, on Saturday, please call us. I would love to know about the 40, 50,000 people that were waiting outside the venue to get in. 855-752-4842. Please enlighten me if you were there. I'd love to be... Just, you know, put me in my place.
You draw issue with his statement about Lindbergh landing.
Okay, when was the Lindbergh flight, Greg Bach? Because we looked it up.
First of all, I like that he said when Lindbergh landed, remember, that was in 1927. So your great meemaw, great peepaw may remember this, but you certainly probably don't because you weren't born yet.
Yeah, even Donald Trump wasn't born yet.
No, but yes, he was. He was born...
Whenever, years ago.
He's been here the whole time.
As I understand it, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Charles Lindbergh landed in France.
Yes.
He landed in Paris.
Yeah.
And then he took a ship over.
Yeah.
And then he landed in New York.
I'm just going to play small devil's advocate. You
sure.
can say a boat lands as well. You could say a boat docks. I just think it's hilarious that you're taking up, your quibble is that.
Well, of course, he's inaccurate about just about everything.
Do you remember the Great Depression? Anyone here remember how it was so terrible? Kamala Harris absolutely ruined this country with the Great Depression in 1929.
I'm getting really good at it, Trump, by the way.
Not bad.
I have not been practicing at all.
Not bad. Maybe it's better if you don't practice. It just comes naturally.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time on immigration. And as Earl had pointed out on his show, just more dehumanizing language, more othering, more misuse of statistics and numbers, and they just lap it up. They lap it up.
The clips that we played, and we'll, you know, I heard some of what Earl did with some of the stuff we played on Pat's show this morning. I mean, it is now, it's not even a, you can't trust, you can't, it's full on, they're going to walk into your house and slit your throat. That is a quote
from him.
They'll walk into your house and slit your throat. What are we even doing now? Like, it is not even an attempt to sound diplomatic.
Oh, please.
In your just blatant racism.
They abandoned diplomacy a long time ago.
I don't know. I long for the days of hidden racism. I don't know. That sounds dumb to say out loud, but I think you know what I mean, though. It's like, and people, as you said, lap it up. They think it's hilarious. They laugh at it. And all the media does is say he went to Prairie du Chien. He told some terrible thing. There's no consequence. It's the fact that this race is neck and neck.
I know.
Is a horrible indictment on this country.
And the mainstream media.
Yes.
I don't think
we're part of. I don't think we're mainstream.
I would not consider us part of the mainstream media. No, not civic media. We're too small.
Yeah, we're cool. We're like your favorite band, like their first two records. Yeah.
Before our hit album.
Exactly. But like no consequences, none. And the fact that he just gets to blather, and I'm sorry, sounding mentally ill.
Yeah. He got a little distracted. I know this is shocking to everyone. He got a little distracted during his Prairie du Chien appearance over the weekend. It's a good clip. I think you'll want to stick around.
Yeah, absolutely. That's called a teaser?
It is called a teaser.
Yeah.
It's tasty, and it's coming up next. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we are talking about Donald Trump's appearance in Prairie du Chien over the weekend. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Yeah, if Joe Biden were still running and Joe Biden made the outrageous, lying, and crazy claims that Trump is making, he'd be all over the media, and they would be saying, this man has clearly lost it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they already did.
So far gone in, he is so far gone in dementia. Well, but Biden never made claims like that. That's the thing. You know, the media would be saying, he's so far gone in dementia.
Yeah.
He clearly has not the ability to handle a presidency. The second thing I wanted to say is this, though. Be careful what you post on Facebook pages. Trump is continues to say the violent rhetoric is all the Democrats' fault, and I finally got sick and tired of seeing that on Facebook. So I made a simple post, and the post said, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty. And then I attributed it. I said, this is the statement from Joseph Goebbels,
yep.
who was Hitler's minister of propaganda.
Yep.
And the first thing that happened was I got a suspension, and they said, you're promoting a hate group. And I said, what? And they would not take the suspension back. So the second time I posted it, I didn't even mention Hitler. I just put down the attribution of Joseph Goebbels, and they suspended me again for the same thing. Be very careful how you attribute things when you're on Facebook, because apparently if you even mention the Nazis, the fascists, or a hate group, they're going to get down on you.
Jack, thank you, so much for calling.
Thank you for listening.
And to clarify, yeah, you're right. Joe Biden did not say anything of what Donald Trump did. My point was that for a long time now, the mainstream media has been hounding him about his mental acuity, not to the same degree they have been to Donald Trump. And that, to me, is what is a very frustrating point, is that, you know, Donald Trump gets to say whatever he wants, and it's either, it wasn't a good speech, never a call to action of, this man is not well and should not be the representative of the GOP.
Well, as Jack said, and here's the clip I've been promising you.
Oh, yes.
Tell me you want to give this man the nuclear codes. Tell me that this is the guy that we can entrust with our nuclear codes. Here's another comment Donald Trump made Saturday during his appearance in Prairie du Chien. Calvin, let's play The Fly.
Remember, there's a hat that's made that sells like crazy.
What?
Oh, there's a fly. Oh, I wonder where the fly came from. See, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have had a fly up here. You're changing rapidly.
Okay.
What?
First of all, if you listen closely, he said, where did this fly come from? First of all, let's not try to make him understand science. Someone yells out, Kamala did it.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, this wouldn't have happened 2 years ago.
He wasn't in office 2 years ago.
And I said to Jane this morning while we were prepping, I said, I don't even understand what that means. And you looked at me dead. She goes, you said, he thinks he was in office 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
I was giving him way too much credit.
Yes. And when I heard that over the weekend, because apparently a fly landed on the podium or something, and during his tenure in the White House, America had no flies. We did have flies. But when I saw that comment, this is the first thing that came to me. The very first thought, with his obsession with flies. Calvin, let's play clip number 4, please.
They're probably watching me. Well, let them. Let them see what kind of a person I am. I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know and they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
He's perfectly fine, everyone. He's fine.
There's plenty of room at the motel.
Yes, please come stay at the Bates Motel.
Oh, God. It's just like you laugh 1 minute, and then as soon as I'm done laughing, I'm like, ugh. Because
this should be concerning.
This should be, I mean,
people should be genuinely concerned with Donald Trump's health.
Yes. Like, and we've said, I mean this as a human being who had a father and had a grandfather. And I am truly concerned about his well-being, because he's not a man who takes good care of himself,
no.
Regardless of how great he thinks his body is. Running for president is not an easy task for a younger person, let alone a guy in his late 70s who doesn't take care, doesn't eat right. And then you surround yourself with a team that is nothing about anything but you. That damages your brain. I'm sorry.
It's not healthy. No one should be surrounded only by sycophants and yes people.
Yeah, he didn't.
That's not good for anyone.
He didn't walk into this whole thing with a real like level playing field in his brain either. He already thought he was the greatest thing to begin with.
Well, he's a genius.
He's a stable genius with the best words, the biggest brain, and the brightest people.
One thing he failed to clarify this weekend, though, after he questioned Kamala Harris's mental state.
Yeah.
It's just, it's almost incomprehensible. It's almost incomprehensible, the things he gets to say. And as you pointed out, Greg, now everybody just lets everything he says fly, as it were.
Ooh.
See what I did? See what I did?
There it is. That's called a callback, people, and a pun. A pun callback? Are you kidding? It doesn't get any... WBA will take our awards, please.
Well, just clip this one now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, news is coming up next, and then when we return, very excited. She is the politics girl. Lee McGowan will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our guest join us. I'm trying not to fangirl all over her. She is the politics girl. You can find her all over the place at I am politics girl. Lee McGowan is here. Now you're a best-selling New York Times author as well. Congratulations and welcome.
Well, thank you, Jane. And it's really exciting. I mean, for a first-time author like me to be a bestseller is amazing because, you know, the RNC is not out there buying my books. The Democrats aren't out there buying my books. These are people around the country buying my books because they actually believe in returning to common sense and like making democracy work.
And that is the name of the book. It's called The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. And I love the very beginning of the book, Lee, because it's essentially a civics lesson. For those of us who are not deep into politics and necessarily the inner workings of how things work in government, that should be required reading for everybody.
Yeah, listen, I don't want people to feel bad about not understanding politics. I think that was done by design. You know, what have we been told to not talk about our whole life? Politics and religion, right? And what are the two things that cause the most problems in the history of the world? Politics and religion. Yep. And then we don't know how to talk about it and we can't fix it, right? So after the introduction of the book, I literally put 20 pages of what I just call America 101, because I think so many of us don't understand how it works, and then we don't know how to fix it. If you told me, hey, Lee, the problem with your car is the carburetor, and I would be like, that's great, Jane. What's the carburetor?
And where do I find it?
If you don't know, how do you fix it, right? So I just wanted to have a section at the beginning, and I literally say at the top of it, if you know how the government works, if you know how our laws are made, if you understand the three branches of government, skip this section. It's not for you. But if you're like, oh, it's been a long time since I heard Schoolhouse Rock, I wasn't really paying attention in high school, this is 20 pages for you to literally put us on the literal same page moving forward into the book.
And what I love about you and what I love about your videos, Lee, is you take what can be very complicated and complex issues and you break them down into very easily digestible pieces and easy to understand. And really, I highly encourage everyone to pick up this book, if nothing else, just for the first 20 pages, because it's just such a good primer on the basics of how the U.S. government works. It is. It's fantastic.
Well, thanks, Jane. I really appreciate that. I do hope people will read past page 21. but the rest of the book is also written in this kind of conversational way. And I set it out to make it easy for us to have these conversations again. I mean, you guys are in Wisconsin. This is the perfect example. You know, like, you are a 50-50 state. It doesn't reflect that in your legislature a lot of the time because you guys were gerrymandered into the ground. But in general, we are a 50-50, you know, like, we want to have these conversations, but people feel, you know, they feel conflicted and they don't want to get in fights with their family and they don't want to have this thing. So I set up the rest of the book under what I call the six American principles, right? That are six things that no matter where you sit on the political spectrum, we can all agree make America, America. And that's from principle one, America is a land of freedom, to principle six, government should be a force for good. And I think these are six things that no matter where we sit, we're going to agree on. And then I just kind of go into why those are our fundamental principles based on history, where we kind of went off track, and how we can get back on track. And I think it starts a conversation for people where we're not all fighting with each other. We're not all screaming at each other. We can agree on the basic principle and then move forward from there.
And I think, as you said, Lee, I think there are far more things upon which we agree, no matter what side of the political spectrum that you're on, than want to divide us. And that's why there is so much effort to get us divided, to make it seem like we can't agree on anything. Mm. So what's the point? That's not true. There are far more things on which we agree. It's just getting past all of the other crap before we can get there.
Well, exactly. I mean, you said it right when you introduced me. You were like, the platform that Elon is now destroying, right? That platform was my favorite platform because it was a place, and I'm talking about original Twitter, was the place where you could cull the people you wanted to hear from.
Yes.
So I could pick immunologists, I could pick journalists, I could pick, you know, experts in history, and I could hear what they had to say about topics. And I loved that about old Twitter. New Twitter is like, it is there as a social experiment to make us hate each other and think that we are the most divided, most hideous nation in the world, full of just haters. And I just don't believe that that is the case. I think one of the things I saw at the DNC this year was the diversity and the unity that America really has. You are seeing, you know, people from across the nation who are of every color and creed and age and race and gender. And we are out there together saying, we believe in this country. We believe in moving forward. We believe in human rights and workers' rights. And it was a wonderful reminder that we are not these red and blue divided states, that we really are the United States of America. And it is a place we could get back to again if we were all kind of looking to do that, which I think most people actually are.
I think people are tired of the division. I think people are exhausted. I think they are exhausted with the anger and the hatred and the finger pointing. And I think a lot of folks want to get past that. If you're just joining us, our guest is Lee McGowan. She is known as the Politics Girl. You can find her all over social media at I Am Politics Girl. And she has a New York Times number one best-selling book that just hit. It's called The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. Lee, I have a clip from one of your videos recently about what's been going on in some of the states regarding voting. Calvin, let's play that first clip, please.
He's not trying to sway new voters. And he keeps going around saying he doesn't even need votes, that they have all the votes they need. In fact, he just did an interview with Fox News where he said he wouldn't run in 2028 if he loses. But then he said, let's just hope we're successful in this one. Not let's hope we win this one. Let's hope we're successful. People should think it's weird that Republicans don't seem to care about how bad their candidate is, that they don't seem to care that Project 2025 came out and we can all read for ourselves how awful their plans for America are. And it's weird that so many swing states are suddenly changing election laws and purging voters or making it harder to vote or count the votes just weeks before the election.
Yeah, that seems some things that make you go, this seems not good. Oh, I think you're muted, Lee.
Sorry, not good indeed, Jane. I would say that is entirely true. And I would say your audience probably knows that better than anyone else because Wisconsin is kind of like the state where they were trying out a lot of this terrible anti-democratic stuff. I mean, I think you guys acted like a beta test for a really long time. I mean, it's just terrible. The work that the people of Wisconsin have really done at this point to hold off some of the worst attacks from right-wing Republicans over the past couple of years has been really successful. I mean, I think that what we're seeing right now is a candidate who's not running, like I said in the rant, in swing states. He's not trying to, you know, sway new voters. He's not trying to change hearts and minds. He's out here telling you who to hate. You know, only he can fix it. And he's has his people in states around this nation making sure people can't vote, purging voter rolls. They're going to be challenging votes after they've been counted. There's going to be election vigilantes at voting sites. They're trying to make it as hard as possible to vote. And I keep saying to people, if you are a voter, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican voter, an independent voter, a Democratic voter, if you are a voter and one party is trying this hard to disenfranchise voters, whether that is the party you don't like, even if it's the Democrats, and you say, well, I'm winning because the Democrats are the ones being disenfranchised, you're not winning, because at the end of the day, you're a voter. And if you give a party the power to disenfranchise voters and not have their vote count and not have their voice heard, eventually you're going to give those people enough power that they won't need your vote either. And I think people need to remember that, that it is so essential that we protect the vote, not just so our party wins, but so the people win. Because ultimately, if we don't have a voice, what do we have? We have nothing. We are Russia. We are Hungary. We are China under Xi Jinping.
But I think Wisconsinites, by electing Justice Janet Protasiewicz and getting her on the Supreme Court, by undoing some of the gerrymandering, I think Wisconsinites got fed up after all of these years of nothing getting done because one party had almost all of the power and could just say, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this instead, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I think one of the things, too, what you just brought up, Lee, was we've talked about on this show is that you can love Donald Trump. You can, you know, wear his hats, go to his rallies, do all the things. But if Project 2025 comes out, if it gets enacted, there will come a day where the goalposts will be changed and you are not patriotic enough. They will change their mind and say, well, you had four signs out, but we need six signs. Sorry. And they're going to change the rules. And no matter how much you supported him, you won't be enough for his America. And that for me is it's one of the most infuriating parts because if you like Trump, whatever, I'm not even gonna say I like it, but whatever, but you put so much, you know, put so much heart into it. And we've watched him just throw away his supporters left and right, from the famous to the unfamous. And the fact that people can't see that the goalposts will change is it's crazy, because you try to tell them, like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a liberal. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, it's distressing, because at the end of the day, Donald Trump is looking out for Donald Trump. Mm. But I also think that it's, you know, like you're saying, you just look around at the people that were his ultimate loyalists, people like Rudy Giuliani. Didn't pay him, threw him under the bus. Now he's disbarred. He'll probably go to jail. You know what I mean? Like, he has no loyalty to people. It doesn't matter how loyal they were to him. And he certainly has no loyalty to the people. At the end of the day, he's going to end up doing what he ends up doing. Quite frankly, I think Donald Trump should be concerned, because that Project 2025 plan, he's the vehicle to get those people across the finish line. He is not the end game. J.D. Vance is the end game, an empty vessel that stands for nothing and will do everything that the powers that be and the moneyed interests want him to do. That is who they want. Donald Trump will be 25th. He will fall out a window. He will drink a tainted Diet Coke. Something will happen, because they don't need Donald past centering the government around themselves and changing all the rules using things like Schedule F and making the federal government answerable only to the executive branch and the president. Donald Trump will think that's for himself. But ultimately, it will only be for the powers that be of people like the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation and those giant money big players.
Well, and what I find so interesting about Project 2025, Lee, is the fact that they put it online. Either they just, I mean, the arrogance level to me is a new, that reached a new height. It's either they thought no one's going to read 900 pages, or they thought they are so much within their own bubble that they think, but everybody's going to love this. Who's not going to love Project 2025, eliminating FEMA and eliminating the National Weather Service and the National Hurricane Center? It's going to be great. So I find that stunning. Either that they just think it's so great that everyone's going to jump on board, or that, oh, who's going to pay attention to this?
Yeah, it's one or the other. I mean, I think a lot of us who are independent media people, we are paying attention. My top of the year podcast on the Politics Girl podcast was on Project 2025, and it was well before anyone was talking about it. And it made it into the book because I was writing the book last year. And it really is something people should be deeply concerned about. But also, they need to understand that if they don't get it this year, if Donald Trump, for whatever reason, and I believe he will not win, it's just going to become Project 2029.
Oh, yeah.
And people need to understand that. This is a long-term goal.
No, you're absolutely right. Donald Trump is the vessel to get this going. But they don't, after this year, they won't need him. They will. This is the Republican plan, or the Federalist Society plan, for the next Republican administration, no matter who it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, the whole point is to center the government around their ideals, their thought of who an American is, their Christian nationalism. It really does have a lot to do with Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
And we need to be really clear about that.
We are going to continue our conversation with Lee McGowan. She is the Politics Girl. You can find her on all the socials at I Am Politics Girl. Subscribe to her podcast. Pick up her book, The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. We'll be right back. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter, Lee McGowan is our guest. She is the Politics Girl. Find her at I Am Politics Girl. And she's out with a new number one New York Times bestselling book called The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. We wanted to share with you our mascot, Lee. This was made by a listener. It's the 3D printer combining Elon Musk and Jabba the Hutt. So he's our new show mascot. And we just love to share him because we think it's special.
I think he's spectacular. I think the entire country is Leia with the collar on right now. Can you hear it with that?
Pretty much.
Yeah, there it
is. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I hope. Yeah. We're looking pretty good in our bikini, but it's not a good place for us to be.
Yeah, not a good place to be, most definitely. Donald Trump was making some appearances over the weekend. He was in Wisconsin on Saturday, and then he made another stop yesterday where he made some comments that were interestingly about overtime. Calvin, let's play this clip. Donald Trump talking about how great overtime is.
I know a lot about overtime. I'd hated to give overtime. I hated it. I'd get other people. I shouldn't say this, but I'd get other people in. I wouldn't pay. I hated.
I'd get other people in and I wouldn't pay it. Huh? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really, truly wish that Americans were listening to what he says. I know he's got amazing rhetoric. He's great with a crowd. The man's a showman. That's what he's always been. He's your classic old school carnival barker. He can bring in a crowd. He can rile them up. But I wish people could spend more time listening to what he's saying, because he's telling you what the facts have been telling us for years. The man does not care about workers. He does not pay workers. He in fact, there are so many people whose businesses were lost after working for him.
Yes.
We should have known that before he was elected in 2016. This is not a man who cares about the American worker. And the fact that there are so many American workers that support him is heartbreaking, because he will throw them under the bus every single time. And here he is telling us he wouldn't pay overtime. He would get other people to pay overtime. And when they tell us they're not going to tax overtime, in the future under his administration, it's because they're not going to pay overtime. It's not because they're not going to tax it. They're not going to pay it.
It just won't exist.
So, like, they won't exist. You know, like, you can just work like little slaves, and that's what we need you for. And I think people really need to hear him.
You know, I one of the things, Lee, is my father was a Reagan Republican. He loved the GOP of the 80s, of the hardworking values, Christian values, family values, all those great values. And to see that party, now granted, Reagan wasn't as great as they thought back in the 80s, but we now know. But to see and hear people calling who disagree with us tout Donald Trump as the representative of that party, of that version, when they don't see that it's as Trump Jr. said, it's not the GOP. It's the party of Trump.
Yes.
That's the most heartbreaking thing, is to listen to these individuals who fully will not vote for Kamala Harris, but they think they're voting for Reagan's GOP still in 2024, 40 plus years later, when it's clear that it wasn't even that then, but it's certainly that not that now.
Yeah, no, hindsight is 2020 on the Reagan administration, right? Like, we see now that the trickle-down economic situation never served us. The idea was you pour champagne into the top glass and it ends up filling all the glasses below. But what we know really happened was that top glass just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and all the glasses underneath were cracking under its weight. That's where we are. That's what Reaganomics did to us. But I think this idea of a shining city on a hill, of this great democracy, of tear down this wall, you know, that kind of thing, that kind of Reaganism, I think a lot of Americans can get behind, because this was the leading shining star of democracy.
Yes.
That we all want to be. And I think we could get back to that. But the idea that the Democrats aren't the party of family values, when we respect every single type of family, where we say, if you're a single mother with your child, you're a family. You know, they told us this on Sesame Street years ago. These are what different families look like. And you'd have a blue Muppet and a red Muppet, and they would be together as a family. And somehow we have said that only white Muppets are a family. Only boy and girl Muppet can have babies. That's not America. That's not what it looks like. And no one wants to go back to that. You know, the white picket fence America was only good for a certain type of American, just like this Make America Great Again concept was only good for a certain type of American. And I think the sooner we can accept that and move forward from it, the better off we'll be.
But you make a really good point about Sesame Street teaching about all different kinds of families. Lee, that's why PBS is so dangerous and needs to be killed, because of those dangerous let's all get along messages coming from Sesame Street.
Monsters.
It's the Marxist Sesame
Literal
Street Muppets.
Monsters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm telling you, if I could do one thing in my life, it would be on Sesame Street with hanging out with those monsters. They are everything I think America should be. Goodness and light and working with your neighbor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You never see a celebrity smile bigger than when they're on Sesame Street.
I'm telling you, it's my dream.
Oh, my dream used to be on the Muppet Show, and I wanted to do a duet with Jan, but that was just me. But anyway,
Jan's pretty cool.
You gotta have something to shoot for, Lee. You're only number one in the New York Times.
You
gotta have dreams, Lee McGowan. She is I Am Politics Girl, number one best-selling book on the New York Times, The Return to Common Sense: How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. Thank you so very much for taking time for us today. Best of luck to you. Let's stay in contact. We'd love to have you back on when you can.
Thanks for having me, Jane. And I really do believe in this country, and I hope that people who read the book will see that.
Thanks a lot, Lee McGowan. It's been a great pleasure. News is coming up next when we return. The aftermath of Hurricane Helene and how we can help. Please stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.